today's message is not only for mothers, but it's also for all of us. It's for men and women, young and old. So it's a message the Lord's laid upon my heart that I want to bring to you today. But what I want us to do today, and I haven't preached for a few weeks, and so I want us to be real Pentecostal today. And I've warned everybody who's just assisting with the running of this service today that I intend to be very Pentecostal. And what that means is let's get engaged. I'm going to be engaged, you get engaged at home. And how about, you know, as I preach, if I say something that resonates with you, how about shouting out hallelujah or amen or praise the Lord? I know you're in your lounge rooms and, you know, there's others around you, but forget about them. You focus in and shout out your praises to God. Amen? And, you know, I might not be able to hear you, but maybe I will. So maybe what we can do is have a practice right now on three in all of our homes across Gosnells or wherever you are on three. What if we all shout out hallelujah? Do you agree? Just nod your head. That's great. Thank you. On three. Okay, you ready? And everybody who's helping out here this morning, you ready? Hallelujah on three. One, two, three. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. That's all good fun, but may the Lord bless you. And Father, we just pray right now that you'll give us ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say to us at Real Life Church. And for those who are visiting and checking us out today, bless them also, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The key Bible text for the next few weeks is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, which says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Now, if you struggle to memorize Bible verses, well, this is one verse for you to memorize, isn't it? Three words. How hard is that to memorize? Pray without ceasing, and that verse will be flowing through the messages over the next couple of weeks. But in this current pandemic season, I've pondered about lots of things. Our lives have changed rapidly, and I've pondered about the dramatic changes that we've all experienced. And I've been thinking, you know, about the enormous power and the authority that some people have over our lives. And for example, our Prime Minister, and I think he's done a great job, and our state premiers, they've used their authority to really close Australia down and place heavy social restrictions upon the whole country. These people you can see on the screen there have governmental authority over you and over me. Even our church has gone online, as we're experiencing today, and I'm still adapting to this. Our church has gone online because of the decisions that have been made by these powerful people. Now, I'm not complaining this morning about the decisions they made, because I think they've made courageous decisions, and we have great leaders here in Australia. And that's a good place to say amen, by the way. But I am, and I must admit it, I'm fascinated how some people have this capacity and power to exert great influence over others. And some people have huge power. Some people even rise up to have global power and influence over international affairs. For example, Donald Trump. There he is on his phone right now. He can tweet a single sentence about what he thinks or he intends to do. That's all he has to do. And that little tweet can immediately influence the world stock markets and the world economy. Incredible. Just one sentence can affect the world economy from that man. He does it, bang, things change. I think it's amazing that one person can be so influential. And then there are celebrities. An international celebrity can wear a brand of clothing or get a haircut in a particular way. And soon, women all over the world are buying the same brand of clothing and getting their hair designed to look like hers. Celebrities have a passive influence, but it's still powerful nonetheless. And then there are business leaders. Does anybody recognize that business leader? Wonderful man, Peter Wagner. You know, we have business leaders who have the power to provide work and prosperity for others so that people can have an income and provide for their families. And that's another kind of power, isn't it? So when you think about it, there are all sorts of leaders and powerful people who influence your life and my life. And you know, when you think about it too, mothers are certainly up there when it comes to influence. But today I want to speak about another group of powerful people
that are not part of those you see on the screen right now. This other group of people, they exert far more influence and power over the affairs of the world than any businessman, media leader, politician, military leader, or celebrity. This particular group I'm going to talk about today, this particular group of people is very small in number, and they're generally not well known. The power that they exercise does not cause them to be recognized as celebrities. In fact, these people are not considered significant in the eyes of the world, but they are true heroes, and I want to talk about them. These people can be found in all walks of life, and they are scattered across the nations of the world. Which group of people am I talking about? Who am I talking about this Mother's Day? I'm talking about the most powerful people on the face of the earth. I'm talking about people who pray. That's who I'm talking about today. The most powerful people on the face of the earth are those who have learned how to pray boldly, courageously, and with great faith in Jesus Christ. That's who I'm talking about today. See, the world does not need more political leaders. I think we've got enough politicians as it is. We don't need more business leaders. We certainly don't need more military leaders, and we don't need more social media influencers. And neither does the world need more religious leaders either. Rather, the desperate need of the world today is to have more people who know how to pray. Please, at home, you know, stay with me. Don't switch off the TV. I want you to hear this message today. And may God speak to your heart today in Jesus' name. We need people who are determined to seek God. Now, I know that's not cool, and I know that's not trendy, but that's what the world needs today. We need people who know how to bring heaven to earth. We need people who know how to pray, God's will be done. We need people who are bold and unrelenting in their prayers. We need people who know how to lay hold of God and how to lay hold of the promises of God. And these people, we need these people who change the course of history through their prayers. The Bible says this in James chapter 5. The prayer of a person living right with God is something powerful to be reckoned with. Elijah, for instance, human just like us, prayed hard that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't. Not a drop for 3.5 years. Then he prayed that it would rain, and it did. And the showers came, and everything started growing again. Old Elijah was just like us, but the Bible says, you know, old Elijah actually was a very ordinary man, but the Bible says that he knew how to pray. And Elijah was a history changer through his prayers. And today we need a new generation of people who will pray boldly like Elijah and bring godly influence to the nations of the world. Is somebody listening to me today? Amen. You know, it's nice to sing about prayer. Our churches, we have lots of songs about prayer. It's nice to read books about prayer. Kurong sells lots of them. It's nice to hear a sermon about prayer, which you're hearing right now. But at the end of the day, somebody, somewhere, needs to step up and actually get before God and pray. Indeed, Australia needs people who can pray. That's a desperate need of the hour. Our community where we live needs people who can pray. Your workmates need people who can pray. Our families need people who can pray. Will you be that person? Will you rise up? Will you be the person who prays? Praying people are not celebrities on earth, but their names are known in heaven. The angels speak with the utmost respect about those who pray and seek God on behalf of other people. However, sadly, many Christians trivialize prayer. We're too busy with other priorities. We dismiss prayer as largely boring and ineffective. We don't persevere in prayer. We give up too easily and say, this is too hard for me. We don't explore how to pray. And so therefore, much of our praying is weak and half-hearted, and our lives lack power. And of course, our arch enemy, Satan himself, he will do everything that he can to distract you from becoming interested in prayer. He wants you to stay far too busy for prayer, when prayer is what you and your family need you to do the most. The devil will lie to you and tell you that praying is not your thing, it's for somebody else. He'll tell you that you could pray tomorrow instead of today. And so you keep putting it off, and tomorrow never comes. The devil wants prayer to seem mysterious to you, because the last thing Satan needs is another crazy Christian discovering the gift of prayer. Many years ago, I came across this old saying, and a lot of you are familiar with it. It says this: Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon their knees. Now, today you may feel like you're the worst Christian. Today you might be the weakest Christian in the entire world. I doubt that, but maybe that's how you fail, you know? Sometimes we feel like that, don't we? But let me tell you, Satan never trembles when Donald Trump sends another tweet. Satan never trembles over the sight of China's military might. Satan never trembles over the authority of world leaders. But Satan trembles when you, with all your flaws and with all your inadequacies, all your failures and mistakes, Satan trembles when you utter the words, "My Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name," and you start to pray on behalf of other people. Satan trembles. When you connect with your heavenly Father, then Satan has to go in Jesus' name. The greatest need by far in the world today is for people to pray to Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth, and call for His help, call for His mercy for other people. The Bible is packed with heroes who prayed and changed the course of history through their prayers. And today, again, we need courageous, bold, determined heroes of prayer once again. Will you be one of those people? Will you rise up and be one of those people who calls upon the name of the Lord? Many years ago, when I was a young man, I came across a passage of Scripture in the book of Ezekiel. And this passage of Scripture had a dramatic effect upon my life and upon my prayer life, and a dramatic effect on my understanding of what prayer is all about, of my role in prayer. And so I just want to share this passage briefly with you. Ezekiel 22 verse 30 says this: "I looked for someone who might rebuild the wall of righteousness that guards the land." This is God speaking, by the way. "And I searched for someone to stand in the gap in the wall so I wouldn't have to destroy the land, but I found no one. I looked for someone who might rebuild the wall of righteousness that guards the land. I searched for someone to stand in the gap in the wall so I wouldn't have to destroy the land, but I found no one." Now, this might seem to those of you at home to be a very strange passage from the Bible. You might not really understand it, but it's actually a very profound passage. And I just want to very briefly just explain it to you so you can understand it. This verse is using a natural example to describe a spiritual principle or situation. It's talking about ancient Jerusalem. 3,000 years ago, it's talking about ancient Jerusalem, which, like other cities in the ancient world, had a wall around it to protect the people inside from the enemies on the outside. And the wall, of course, needed to be regularly maintained, and they needed to look after that wall. It was their wall of protection. And they had to protect or maintain the wall because if the wall was breached and a gap developed in the wall, then the defenders of the city had to rush to that gap in the wall and protect the city from attack. And they also had to buy time for the builders to rebuild that part of the wall and strengthen the wall again. This is what this verse is all about. It's a picture. For those of you who have seen the movie The Lord of the Rings, I think it's the second release of the Lord of the Rings, second movie, there's this scenario that happened at Helm's Deep. Some of you can remember it. Helm's Deep, if you remember from the movie, was under siege, and then there was that breach in the wall, and in response, a few hundred brave individuals quickly stood in the breach to defend the city. And that's that kind of response to the breach in the wall was standard practice in the ancient world. That's the picture here. And with this natural picture in mind, God was saying to the people of God, that is, in Ezekiel 22, he was saying that spiritually, the wall of Jerusalem, the wall of the city of Jerusalem, had been breached spiritually. The wall of righteousness needed serious maintenance. And that was because the wall had cracked under the pressure of corruption and wickedness. And thus, that particular community was allowing in. And the situation had become so dire that it threatened to bring destruction to the city. And please listen, everybody at home. I know these are modern times, but please listen. Wickedness, vile behavior, corruption, and greed always attracts destruction. Always does. What a community sows through its behavior affects what it attracts to itself. Basic history teaches that lesson to us. And so God was saying that somebody, a spiritual defender, needed to take a stand in the breach and the gap in the wall before it was too late. And this person was needed to stand against the overwhelming flood of wickedness that was crashing into the vulnerable city and ensnaring the people and destroying the people. In the natural, the defenders would have used spears and shields and swords, things like that. But the primary weapon that you use to stand against the influence of wickedness and all the works of Satan, the primary weapon is prayer through Jesus Christ. I'm talking about bold praying. The point I'm making today is that just as in ancient times, the defenders would stand with their shields and weapons to defend their city, so today we stand in prayer and we pray boldly for those around us. We pray for our family. We pray for our friends. We pray for our neighbors across the road. We pray for Australia. We pray for the nations of the world, and we must pray for one another. And people who pray like this for other people, they really are spiritual soldiers, spiritual fighters. And they are the ones with the real power in the world that can influence the outcome of history. That's a good place to say amen. That's why Satan doesn't want you to get into prayer. That's why it's so hard to pray sometimes. He doesn't want you using your God-given authority and start messing with him and his evil schemes. He does not want you stopping him from destroying people. Satan is just terrified that you will discover and know that greater is God who is in you than Satan that is in the world. But Ezekiel, you know, is a sad passage because it says that God looked for someone to stand, just what? He looked for one person to stand in the gap in that situation 3,000 years ago. But the Bible says he couldn't find one. Nobody. Not one person. There were no brave defenders. There was no one willing to lay their lives down and protect other people. And so you will read in Ezekiel, you can read the whole chapter yourself if you want, that Jerusalem was flooded with wickedness and flooded with vile behavior. And it was destroyed. Absolutely wiped out. So with that in mind, I want to finish with just two big points that I want to make out of this passage in Ezekiel. And I'll be brief, but please listen as I bring this message to a close in a few moments. Two big points from that verse you've got on the screen there. Firstly, number one, God loves people. God really loves people. You could sense God's heart for the city of Jerusalem just in this brief verse. And his concern for the people. He did not want them to reap destruction. It concerned him. Indeed, God cares for everyone, including the wicked. You know, we judge people, but God cares for the wicked. He cares for your neighbor. He loves your family. No matter what they're into, he still loves them. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. And the Bible also says in Ezekiel 30:11, he says this, "As surely as I live, says the Sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of wicked people." God's not got some sort of vendetta and takes pleasure in the death of wicked people. Rather, he says, I only want them to turn from their wicked ways so they can live. And then you get this in this verse I'm reading to you. He says, turn from your wickedness. Make no mistake about it, brothers and sisters. God loves people and so should we. The second point, and it's a biggie, and I might mess with some people's head right now, but I'm not worried about that. Second point is this. God will only ever intervene and act for good in the lives of people provided he has someone on earth who will work with him. Very, very important to understand this. God does nothing on earth except in response to someone who will pray and intercede on behalf of other people. If you don't believe me, and maybe you don't, read the Bible. And look for yourself and you will see clearly that this is how God has chosen to work in our world. Since Adam and Eve used their free will to block God out of the world, since that pivotal time in human history, God always waits for someone who will call on his name and invite him to unleash his mercy and his compassion. That's why Jesus taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And one day we know that Jesus Christ is going to come back again, he's going to return again. But until that time, Jesus commanded his people to watch and pray. We're to pray without ceasing. And today, this message is just simply a call to prayer. While we're under lockdown, while we're at home, some of you have been really great prayer warriors in the past and somehow it's just slipped away. Some of you used to pray for quite some time and see God's face, but, you know, had distractions and you've let it slip. This is just a message today. All I'm trying to do is just stir you up. I'm trying to stir myself up too today to pray and seek the face of the Lord. Whoever you are, you could talk to God. Even if you're a new Christian and don't know how to pray, you could talk to God and pray and make a difference. We need you to pray. My grandson, Luca, cannot yet form his words. He's a handsome little boy, but he can't speak. He makes noises. He tries to talk, but it's just baby talk, as you would expect. But his parents, Ben and Cherie, you know, they're wired into his baby communications. They can read him like a book. They read him and they respond to him because he's their baby. In the same way, God is wired into you. Even if you're just a new Christian, even if you're that weakest Christian in the world and you can't speak the prayer language or whatever that means very well, you know, God's wired into you. He understands what you're saying. You know, with my grandson, the best way for him, Luca, to learn to talk is just to keep talking. Sometimes he does talk in his way and he thinks he's talking. I don't know what he's saying. But the best way for him to learn to talk is just to talk. Just talk. Just talk. Listen and talk. And you know, in the same way, the only way you're ever going to learn to pray is to pray. Just to pray. Talking to God, just keep praying and praying and praying. And we so desperately need you, whoever you are, weakest saint, whoever you are, we Australian need you to pray. Each day, just for a few minutes, pray with passion. Each day at a time and place that suits you, come and stand in that gap and dare to pray with boldness and expectation. Go to war against everything that is wrong in your family and everything that's wrong in the community, everything that's wrong in Australia. Go to war and pray against those things. Pray for yourself. Pray for your family. Pray for our church. Pray for Australia. Pray for our leaders and pray for other Christians. Just pray and pray and pray. Stand in the gap and pray without ceasing until the victory comes. And that's the end of the message right now. But I think I would be remiss if we didn't pray. The Bible actually says, those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And right now we're going to call upon the name of the Lord. What burden burdens you? What burden do you have? Maybe it's to do with your children. Maybe it's to do with your parents. Maybe it's to do with your neighbors, your workmates. We all carry burdens, but we can bring our burdens at the end of the service to the Lord right now and pray. And this could be the start of maybe a new step forward in your prayer life in Jesus' name. Will you join with me as I just pray? I'm going to pray about your burdens right now. And Father, we just come before you. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you stirred our hearts to seek your face. Lord, you don't want us to carry our burdens alone. And Lord, we thank you that you are the great burden bearer. And so we just pray about our burdens right now. Lord, concerning our families, things that we see wrong, the stuff our kids are getting into, and they won't listen to us. So we pray about it, Lord. The stuff that's happening with our neighbours and our workmates who have shared with us, and stuff we see happening across Australia. Father, we bring our burdens to you, and we cast these cares upon you, and we pray your kingdom to come into the lives of these people that we care so much about. We pray your love. We pray your reconciliation. We pray deliverance from Satan. Lord, we pray Holy Ghost victory. We pray for a change, Lord, in our children's lives, in our friends' lives. We bring all of these needs to you. And Father, today at Real Life Church, we're feeling stirred up, and we make the decision, Lord, that we're going to seek your face. We're going to learn what it means to pray without ceasing. And Father, as a pastor of this church, I pray your mighty blessing upon each person listening to this broadcast, Lord, in their homes, in their lounge rooms. Father, I just pray shalom and peace, and particularly for the mothers today, I pray new strength. Lord, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you, Real Life Church. Thank you.